Yeah. lives without you, and we're in this together. Don't leave me on my own.
Beautiful, beautiful. Avi Friedler, thank you, Avi. Woo! Let's begin. Let's continue. It's an honor, a tremendous honor, to have Rabbi Lazarus here. An inspiration. As I say many times, it's not the amount of years that a person is on this earth. A person could be 18 years old and he could feel very old. A person could be very young, but he's very old in his perspective, and he's stuck. You could be 18 years old and feel that you're so stuck. You could be 20, 30, whatever age you are, and then a person could be a little bit older and older and older, and he's constantly trying to learn and fresh to sit in a shir. It's very humbling for me, Rabbi Lazarus, to be sitting opposite you like this. But to me, it's a tremendous inspiration. You apologize. It's an inspiration for me as I think back many times when we used to do the Shalom Bayis shir on Thursdays over there by my desk and by my table. And Rabbi Lazarus would be sitting there after Kanai Nahara, how many years married?
This
is my 60th. 60th year married. Unbelievable. And Rabbi Lazarus would sit there with a newlywed and would be involved in the discussion and how could I be a better husband? How could I be a good husband? And for me, that's such a inspiration for all of us. An inspiration that's really, at least for me, I could say is that Be'ez Hashem, when I...
He's still trying.
What? He's still trying, exactly. Hashem should give you Arichas Yomim V'Shanim, a good Geben Shiar, a healthy year, and you should continue with us here in the yeshiva and this year, and continue to inspire us for many, many years. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you. Today is an extra special day, as we are the week before Rosh Hashanah, 5 days, last Sunday of the year, Chav Dalet, as we said last night, especially in our yeshiva. It's not just a cute picture to have the Chafetz Chaim. I could say that Baruch Hashem, I grew up in a home where my parents did not speak Lashon Hara. My parents were not people. I did not grow up in a home of a lot of talking Lashon Hara. Some people, unfortunately, grow up in homes, probably not anymore. Maybe there used to be a time. There maybe used to be a time where people grew up in homes, but where people speak Lashon Hara, and they grow up, they don't even know what it is. But I could tell everyone, I could share with you all, that this book, and connecting more with the Chafetz Chaim, as the Chafetz Chaim says in his introduction, if one learns my Sefer on a daily basis, and this is something that I say many, many times, today is the Chafetz Chaim's yard site, Rabbi Yisrael Meir, Rabbi Aryeh Zev, he should be a schus for all the Jewish people and for all of us that we try as best as we can. I know there's a chat from Nisanel Devor and my son Avram that close to 1,000 people, and they learn the Sefer on a daily basis. And what the Chafetz Chaim, what I love about this line that the Chafetz Chaim says in his introduction, is he says, all you have to do is learn my Sefer. All you have to do is learn this on a daily basis. And he promises that if you learn the Sefer on a daily basis, your desire for Lashon Hara will become smaller until it will eventually leave you completely. So it's not about saying I'm never speaking Lashon Hara anymore. It's about trying as best as we can, as I put under the picture of the Chafetz Chaim, just to read this. In this yeshiva, we strive to emulate what the Chafetz Chaim teaches us and what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be a Yid, which is we work on judging other people favorably, accepting others, and focusing on one's good, on their good. In the Zohar it is written, and I read from page 10, it says that in Shemayim there are two chambers. Nobody likes to be judged. That's part of what we're going to talk a little bit about today. Nobody likes to be judged. Judge means someone's looking at you, whether it's good, whether it's bad. That's why they say public speaking, I think they say it's like the fear of death and the fear of talking in public are similar, and that people are afraid, people get nervous. Yeah, it's a very normal thing. Why? Because everyone's judging you. Nobody wants to be judged. It's not about being judged favorably or not. Judge means you're looking at someone. What's his hair like? What's his shirt like? What does he look like? Is he tall? Is he skinny? Is he have black hair, blonde hair? What does he look like? Is he cool? Is he not? Judging. Doesn't mean good or bad. It means you are donning. You are touching up. You are sizing up a person. Nobody likes to be sized up. Nobody likes to be judged. And it says that there are two chambers. 71 Sanhedrin look and try and find schusim for Klal Yisrael. As we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, we all want schusim. We all want to be written, which we'll talk about in the book of schusim, as we're going to say in Avinu Malkeinu. We all want to say, oh, I did great things, I'm doing great things. And then there's another heichel, and that there sits Sutton, that crazy guy who seeks to talk badly about the Jewish people. So there are two chambers. There's a chamber of 71 Sanhedrin who look to find the good of the Jewish people, and then there's another chamber, another heichel, where the Satan, the Malach HaMaves, the Yetzahara, tries to talk badly. Where does each chamber draw its power? The answer, says the Zohar, when a person thinks positively and looks at the good in others, then the heichel haschus, that chamber, will find the schusim for him. It's very scary a little bit how powerful we are. V'hevidon hadon esa'adam lekavschus, don in oso lekavschus, lemala. It's almost like, as we're going to say in the Nisana Tokef, it says, v'yad kol adam chaysam boy. It's almost like we ourselves are so powerful that we sign how we view ourselves, how we view other people. And as I wrote over here under the picture of the Chafetz Chaim, when we find ourselves judging someone negatively, we choose to look inward for what it is that Hashem is really showing us about ourselves. As I say many times, when I point one finger at you, I have three fingers pointing at myself. When I see the negative in someone else, it's the biggest blessing. The biggest blessing in the world when I see something negative in someone else, because what it's showing is what I need to work on and how I can improve myself. This is a foundation. As I said last night, I believe one of the reasons the Chafetz Chaim passed away the day before the world was created. Tomorrow is the first day that the world was created. Because when I want to create my new world, when I want to create my new life, each and every one of us want to create a new life. Each and every one of us want so badly to have a good life. The way to do that, be the change you want to see in the world. That's why I love that so much. Be the change that I want to see in the world. If I want love in the world, I want to see love in the world. And if I see hate, I have to look within myself and say, how could I see better within myself so that that will go over and flow on to everyone else. That's what I want. That's what we want. That's what we pray. Because speaking Lashon Hara comes from one place. It comes when I see negative, then I speak negative. If I can only see the good, I'll end off with one of my favorite stories of the Bardichever. It's a... you have a question?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
How can you see better?
Beautiful, beautiful. Aviad, right? For a person to see better in someone else is to begin to see the beauty within yourself. Because what I see on the outside is a reflection of me. And the more I make myself beautiful within myself, then I'm not able to see the negative in someone else. All the negative on the outside is there to teach me what I can learn about myself. How can I learn about myself? And when a person begins to work on himself, Mitzora, what happens when someone speaks Lashon Hara? He becomes a Mitzora. A Mitzora, Aviad, they say, is Motzi Ra. I can only give what I have. If I have it, I could give it. If I have beauty, I could see beauty. If I have negativity and darkness and ich, then I give that to other people. The more I focus on me, and the more I look inward into me, and the more I see how can I better me. Yes, my roommate might be a certain way. Yes, my caravan might be like this. Yeah, this might be like this. This might. The greatness of the Chafetz Chaim is he's teaching us how to be so big, not to be so small. Because the way I can make myself big is by making everybody else small. The other way I can make myself big is by making myself big and making myself great. And not to think that it's on the outside. It's usually on the inside. Now, if someone hurts you, that's a different conversation. If someone hurts you, that's a different conversation.
From Rabbi Lazarus.
Oh, thank you, Rabbi Lazarus.
Is it positive or negative?
Positive.
What?
Now
what?
See how many things you would check off on yourself.
Yes.
Then you like yourself.
Beautiful.
Because you'll see that you're worth liking.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Because if somebody else had those things, we might be friends with them.
Right.
And you discover that it's you.
Right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you.
Then you learn how to see good things. When I'm a Seder Kedushin, I give one to the chassan and one to the caller, and I tell them 10 things on that list. Each one of you should know 10 things about the other spouse, about those things. I promise you, you will have a happy marriage.
Beautiful.
Be happy.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Lazarus. Segue, Aviad, I respect your question because it's going to segue into what we were talking about. We'll have a few minutes. Sorry, the time's a little bit late. The challenge, I'll try and express this as best I can. Part of the challenge of Rosh Hashanah and... I'm sorry? The what? The Bardichever. Okay, I'll say it afterwards. We'll go to the triggering stuff first. Remind me to say this story from the Bardichever. The challenge, I think, of these days is the paradox, which means the contradiction of me wanting to change and me knowing that I need to change, and that desire to be greater and greater and greater. Rosh Hashanah, which we're going to talk about, is the head. It's the Rosh, cognitive. It's very, very important as we're here journeying together in yeshiva to be able to make a distinction between cognitive and emotional. Cognitive is what's in your head, how you think, how a person thinks. Your emotions is how you feel. What happens is the goal in life is viadata hayom v'hashevosa elavavecha. As the tzaddikim say, it's farther, my brain from my heart is further than shamayim and aretz. We start off our year with the Rosh Hashanah, with my mind, with my brain, with my intellect. I want this. I want to be great. I was told that I want to do this, and I was told that this is this. My mind, I have a strong mind. But what happens is when my heart and my mind are not together, that's very, very painful. When my feelings, my emotions, that's why people struggle when it comes to doing something, doing a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah, I might know what I should do, which is in my brain, but I don't feel like doing it. It's hard for me to do it. I don't have feelings. I'm disconnected from the feelings. And when a person does that too much, and he's told and he's pushed in his brain, in his brain, in his brain, and it's all brain, and you ignore your feelings, there's a tremendous disconnect and challenge that a person has to be able to live that life. Because here I know how I want to live, but I can't live it. The goal is, Yom Kippur, we'll talk more about, Yom Kippur is about the heart. That's why we go like this on Yom Kippur. It's about going like this. It's connecting to your heart. It's about forgiveness. It's about love. It's about saying, I'm sorry. It's about feeling, about connection. Rosh Hashanah is about vision, is what I want to make this year about, who I want to be, what do I want to be, how can I get there? So that cognitive dissonance, which is when this disconnect, there's a stira, there's a paradox of the way I feel and the way I act, which by the way, it ends off with Sukkot, which is Das, that's Chachma, which is in my brain, Bina is Balev, and Das is living. What do we do on Sukkot? We go into the Sukkah, which is I want my whole body, my mind, my body, my mind, my body, and my entire, till my from my head to my toes, I want them to be together. That's the most serene, peaceful state when I'm thinking, feeling, acting one and the same. Quick question?
Yeah.
Go.
Topic.
Yes.
This idea that everybody's talking about of like having our mind and our heart kind of sounds like the goal is to have them connected.
Yes.
Like, I wonder how throughout the year we have like, that connection, like a mind and a feeling and emotion, like connection, so that like I want to do something, but you know what? I don't really feel it. I don't really want to do
right.
this.
Exactly.
Like I know I want it.
Right. So I think the first step. Thank you, Yitzi. Thank you, Yitzi. So I think what's important, it's very important. It's always important to be able to distinguish between who you are. Are you a mind person? Or are you a body person? Are you an emotional person? Are you a cognitive person? Did you grow up that your father is very headstrong? Your mother, the father usually is the cognitive. The mother is usually the emotions. Again, it doesn't have to be that way, but usually that's what they represent. And it's very important to identify within yourself, how is my mind? Like we said the other day, we have 80% of our thoughts are repetitive. That's a very, very good thing to know. That means 80% of my thoughts are the same thoughts that I've had since I'm a little kid. 80 to 90% of my thoughts are going to be negative, negative thoughts. That's my Rosh. Now, my feelings could be a whole different ballgame. How are my feelings? How am I doing with my emotions? How do I feel about something? How am I able to connect the two? So, Yitzi, just to answer your question, we don't have that much time. I'm going to wrap up in 2 minutes over here, and then I'll say the story from Rav Levi Yitzchak from Barditcha. Four more minutes. What's important to understand is that the anxiety and the nervousness of Rosh Hashanah and Elul and what's going on is the fact that I might have expectations from myself to be something. And that is amazing. That is amazing if you are not happy with where you are. That is amazing if you are not happy with where you are. Because the only way we can grow and the only way I could become better is if I'm not happy with where I am. At the same time, there's something called being okay with who I am and accepting emotionally who I am and where I am. and being realistic and knowing that it's okay that this is where I am and I'm going to get there. And they don't always have to be, They don't always have to be, Yitzi, as you were saying, they do not always have to be exactly congruent and exactly fitting perfectly together. Because there are times where you work on your cognition and there are times where you work on your emotions. And as long as a person is working on both of them, eventually they will come together. The problem is when I overly do my cognitive or I overly do my emotions. If a guy says, okay, I am letting myself stay in bed and do nothing because that's what I need to do for myself emotionally. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That could be a great thing. Now, if a person always and only does that, that's a very negative thing. Even though I don't believe that a person would ever do that. But ultimately, if a person is giving himself the space that he needs emotionally, that's great. Now, if a person cognitively is aware and says, wait, I want to think differently. I want to look at myself differently. I want to connect Hashem differently. I want to learn. It's one of the things that people, some people don't like learning Gemara. Some people don't like learning Gemara because Gemara is all in the brain. It's all in the brain. Now, if you have trauma from Gemara, wait a second. If you have trauma. So if you have trauma from Gemara, so that's an emotional reaction. That's emotional. That's not cognitive. If you have a problem, if somebody struggles with a mitzvah, or he struggles with, right? A lot of people with slichas, with Rosh Hashanah, with Elul, with Yom Kippur, with anything Jewish, that's good, we did it. And that was pretty good, yeah. With anything Jewish, anything that it comes to religion, because maybe somebody was extra tough on you, that is not cognitive. That's emotional. Because if it was cognitive, you probably wouldn't be here. Everybody's sitting here, and everybody being interested to the point that you're in yeshiva. So in cognitive, you know there's a God. I know there's Gehenim. I know there's heaven. I know there's Gehenim. I know there's right. I know there's wrong. I know life is short. I know some people die young. Some people live a longer life. Some people have parents that are divorced and they have a terrible upbringing. Some people have amazing families. Some people have, everybody has a different story. And it's very clear that that's out of my hands. That's out of my hands, what family I was born to, what number in the family I am, what my looks are, even what my chachma, even my intellect is very much, can very, very, very much many times be something that you did not have to work on. That's cognitive. But your emotions, and how you experience different things. If you had a tough third grade, fifth grade, ninth grade, if you had a tough time with your father, with your mother, whatever it might be, that's going to affect your emotions. And it's very, very important to be able to distinguish between what is Rosh Hashanah. Maybe I know nothing about Rosh Hashanah. Maybe I know nothing about slichas. Maybe I know nothing about Elul. Maybe I know nothing. Why do I tell guys, why do I get excited when guys go to Uman? Because anyone who's never been to Uman, who's going to go to Uman, and those who have been to Uman, you're already in a different zone when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. You're going to be like, this is, I was in Uman for Rosh Hashanah. I was like, this is just like slichas last night. I was like, this is Rosh Hashanah? This is slichas? I thought we're supposed to this. But what it's good is, it helps a person relearn. It helps a person go ahead and say, wait, hold up. Let me look into what Yiddishkeit is. What is Yom HaDin? What is Rosh Hashanah? Am I supposed to be scared? I'm not supposed to be scared. Am I supposed to be happy? Supposed to be nervous? But you can't just say it like that. It's not true. You have to learn about it. It's not how you feel about it. It's also how you feel about it. It's what is the truth? Is there? We're going to go ahead and there's an Indian to drink on Rosh Hashanah. Do you know that? There's an Indian to drink on Rosh Hashanah. I'm supposed to drink. Is it a Yom Tiv? Since it's Yom Tiv, Yom Adin. Okay, but yeah or not? Yom Adin. Am I supposed to be confident on Rosh Hashanah? I'm supposed to be scared on Rosh Hashanah. Am I supposed to dance on Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.
Am I supposed to not dance on Rosh Hashanah?
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is that Baruch Hashem. I'm going to end off with the story of Levi Yitzchak. There's so much more to talk about. The answer is that I got to go because I'm giving a Zoom
cliffhanger.
Yeah. The answer is that it's anxiety provoking because it is confusing and contradictory. And it's important to learn about it. The reason anxiety comes when there's contradictions. I want to be here, but I feel I'm here. I want this, but I'm really here. It's complex. It's very complex. The story of Reb Levi Yitzchak, we should all be zeichet to this. He was walking in the street on Yom Kippur, and he saw, we should all be zeichet, that's how I'm going to end off with this. We should all be zeichet to look at another yid like this. He was walking down the street, and there was a yid on Yom Kippur. This is the story that they say. And the yid was smoking a cigarette on Yom Kippur. And Reb Levi Yitzchak, all of his chassidim, Reb Levi Yitzchak was known. Reb Levi Yitzchak, please. Reb Levi Yitzchak was walking. Could you imagine Yom Kippur, the holiest night of the year? And he's walking and he sees this yid smoking a cigarette. And he was known to only see the good. We should all be zeichet to see the good in every Jew like Reb Levi Yitzchak. And he goes, and the chassidim are like, okay, let's see the Rebbe do this one. Let's see what he can do with this one. So he says, oh, this Jew must not know that it's Yom Kippur. He says, you must not know it's Yom Kippur. And the yid says, I know it's Yom Kippur. So he's like, okay, you must not know that you're not allowed to smoke on Yom Kippur. He goes, nope, I know that I'm not allowed to smoke on Yom Kippur. So, okay, the chassidim are like, okay, now what's he going to do now? Oh, you must have gotten a note from the doctor that it's good for your health to not smoke on Yom Kippur, to smoke on Yom Kippur. And he's like, nope, I know that it's bad, I know that it's wrong, I know that I'm not allowed to do this, I know. And he's sitting there like that, and everyone's like, uh-oh, what's he going to say now? And he says, wow, what a beautiful yid. He doesn't know how to lie. He always tells the truth. Hashem should help us all. B'schus l'Chavetz Chaim, should be zocha to see the beauty in all, in each and every one of us and all of Klal Yisrael. Light up tomorrow with today. Thank you, everybody. Shkoh.